Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Major airlines have said they'll be net zero by 2050, which means they'll no longer contribute to climate change. But it's a long flight to the future because right now airlines still burn a lot of fossil fuels. Now, there are ways to produce jet fuel that doesn't warm the planet quite as much. You can make it from things like cooking oil, farm waste, and even carbon dioxide pulled straight from the air. Sustainable aviation fuels, or SAF as they're known, are a drop in the tank today, but United Airlines CEO Scott Kirby says the industry is trying to change that. He joins us now, and we should mention that United is an NPR funder. Scott, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So how much of this sustainable aviation fuel goes into a United jet on a typical day? Like, if I get on a plane this morning, is it likely that my flight will be using it?
Well, right now it's pretty small. It does get blended, particularly in California, into the jet fuel population. So a little bit, if you're flying out of California, will often be on every airplane, but it's a very small percentage today. And this is an industry that is really in its infancy. And what we're doing at United is investing in the companies that are doing the R&D and trying to commercialize, scaling up to make this a much more sizable industry.
And that's this sustainable flight fund. It includes $200 million from companies like yours. And as you just said, the money isn't going to buy sustainable jet fuel directly, but it funds the startups working to solve the problem. Why do it that way instead of just buying more sustainable jet fuel?
Well, the supply doesn't exist yet. And so at this stage of the industry, we have to build the supply. That's why we've focused on investing in the companies that have the ability to scale up and create significant supply. The potential is large, but we have to invest in building the economies of scale and making it commercially viable.
Demand for jet fuel is so high that I understand growing crops just for SAF would have a huge environmental footprint. And then you've got new high-tech solutions like pulling carbon dioxide directly out of the air to make the fuel. Those are mostly unproven and very, very expensive. I mean, do you think that goal is even possible to make enough sustainable fuel to power the industry?
I do. It's not going to happen overnight. But if you look at the path between here and 2050, we'll believe we'll get to 100%, the ability to get to 100% sustainable aviation fuel using many of the things that you mentioned. And we do think that there's a path to get there.
You're asking your customers to participate here. 115,000 United customers have paid extra money, up to $7 on a ticket, which is relatively nothing really on a, say, a $350 flight. Do you think that customers would be willing to pay what it would actually take to decarbonize flying?
Well, I think this is a broader question for, are people, is society willing to pay higher amounts for energy that is sustainable? And the short answer is no. And what that means is we have to make it commercially viable. Everyone wants energy to be sustainable, but they also want it at competitive prices. And so that means it is on all of us in industry to find ways to make it price competitive. That's what we're trying to do with this flight fund. But I think it is naive to assume that consumers are just going to pay extra. There are a handful that will, but most want the products to be price competitive, and we need to deliver price competitive products.
Well, in sustainable aviation fuel is not competitive now. I see that it's four times as expensive as conventional fuel. And fuel is always one of your biggest expenses. Is this going to make it more expensive to fly?
No, it's not competitive today, but it will be in the future. And to me, this is much like what happened with wind and solar. Investment will drive economies of scale and efficiencies to get the cost to be competitive. That's the whole point of what we're trying to do.
I know there will be people listening who are skeptical. Anytime a CEO from a big company, a company that burns a lot of fossil fuel, you know, comes on and says that they want to clean up, they want to do a good job for the environment. And then when you look closer, you know, maybe it's not exactly what it sounds like. How real is this? What would you say to skeptics who say, I don't know, this United's not doing this from the goodness of their own heart?
Well, actions speak louder than words. First, I'd say personally, I call myself a climate change geek going all the way back to college. So I've been interested in this for a long time. But secondly, I'd say it's in our interest to do it. If you still want to be skeptical and don't believe us, it's in our best interest to do it. It's not only what our customers are asking us to do. It's not only what the regulatory political environment is asking us to do, but ultimately it is a way to control our highest and most volatile expense, which is fuel. You know, Vladimir Putin decides to invade Russia and our fuel cost spikes by billions of dollars. You know, one, I think you can believe us because we're sincere and our actions do speak louder than words. But secondly, it's in our best business interest to do this as well.
But, you know, mile for mile, flying is right now the worst way to travel when it comes to climate impacts. And if we're talking about action, wouldn't the best action be for people who want to reduce their carbon footprint is just to fly less?
Absolutely not. First, I'm not sure your stat is correct. But secondly, I think one of the biggest talked about casualties of COVID is the loss of global connectivity. United Airlines pre-pandemic carried 1,000 U.S. citizens a day to China, 1,000 Chinese citizens to the U.S. We carried 100 U.S. citizens to Russia, 100 Russian citizens to the U.S. And that loss of perspective and understanding has made the world a more dangerous place. We are a global community, and the only way to be an effective global community is to be with each other, to understand each other. We should not make the mistake of retreat.
I'm thinking about longer term into the future, because burning sustainable jet fuel still does send carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. It's not a complete answer to aviation's pollution problem in that way. How long will it be until we see an electric passenger jet or maybe a reliable hydrogen fuel cell for airplanes?
Well, first, I disagree. Getting to 100% sustainable aviation fuel will be a true net zero without using, you know, the kinds of carbon offsets that others use, like planting trees. It will be a true cycle that is net zero, point one. On your other question, I think electric and hydrogen may have a small role to play, but they're going to be small roles. The energy density, one of the things that makes aviation hard to decarbonize, and the reason we need SAF is there's not even a theoretical physics that allows batteries to have enough energy density to fly even medium-sized airplanes, medium distances.
One more thing I want to ask you about before we go. Yesterday, flight attendants at United and other big airlines picketed at dozens of major airports. They're negotiating or getting ready to negotiate a new contract, and they want a bigger share of some of the profits that airlines like United have made in recent years. What can you say about that? Can you meet their demands?
We are in negotiations with them. They've filed for it. What works in aviation is federal mediation. So we are working through the mediation process. We look forward to getting a deal done for an industry-leading deal with our flight attendants. They deserve it, and we look forward to getting that done with them.
All right, Scott Kirby, the CEO of United Airlines. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Peter.